Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation I'm hoping helps your business grow. Speaking of growing, if your company grows and it grows really fast, you're going to have to figure out how to hire people really quickly. Now, if you listen to the show a lot, you know we talk a lot about hiring people, and hiring the wrong people can really, really set you back. It can be distracting, it can be expensive, it can be frustrating, but hiring the right people can put your business on the rocket ship that's going to the moon. That's all where we're all trying to go, to the moon, right? Speaking of going to the moon, today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io, because hiring software developers is difficult and Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably, and as a platform to help you manage that team. Go to Fullscale.io to learn more. With me today is someone else that knows a lot about hiring people, especially hiring at scale. I've got Prem Kumar. He is the CEO of Humanly. They specialize in human resource services, high volume hiring teams. Go to Humanly.io. There's a link for that in the show notes, a link for Fullscale.io in the show notes. Now, one thing about Prem and his company is they are also on our list of top Seattle startups here in 2023. So it should be no surprise that straight out of Seattle, Washington, we can say, Prem, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here and for this conversation.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and kick that off with a little bit about your own backstory.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for introducing the company. As you mentioned, we help high volume hiring teams screen, schedule, and interview more efficiently and equitably. My background started my career at Microsoft. I was joining out of college. I was a high volume hire myself. So I had a lot of experience with writing expansive resumes and cover letters, only to never hear back. Eventually, I did hear back from Microsoft and worked there. As I worked at Microsoft on the HR tech side, I started to realize that a lot of these professionals, whether it's on the talent acquisition side or HR side, it's not that they were trying to ignore candidates or employees by any means. It was that they didn't have the technology to really engage at scale. And, you know, that's where my story started after having my first kid. It was kind of a kick in the butt to think about my passion and the impact I want to make on the world. And I knew I wanted to enter the startup world. So I left Microsoft after about 10 years, worked on a lot of great projects there. I was PM for our global HR portal, among other things. I went to a company called Tiny Pulse in the startup ecosystem, focused on employee engagement. And when I was at Tiny Pulse, I met my co-founder for Humanly. Long story short, but we felt you know, there's a lot of great tools out there to help find candidates, source them, job boards. There's a lot of great applicant tracking tools, but there weren't many tools to help you really have better conversations with your candidate. How do you convert them better on Zoom? How do you automate a pre-screen? So really our goal is saving time for high volume hiring teams. And that's kind of been my background, has primarily been in HR tech and talent tech.
So when you talk about like high volume hiring teams, now this is this because I've got a couple. There's a couple words in the notes here that say entry level or mid level. Like, yeah. So what is a high volume hire? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, it's a great question, and there's a lot of different people use different definitions for it, but we kind of split our customers into two groups. One is on the hourly side, and the other is on the professional side. A lot of what we're doing is professional, so you can kind of think. Yeah, entry to mid-level support, operations, sales, where generally you're getting high applicant volume. So yes. Instead of, you know, 100 resumes, 200 resumes, maybe it's 300, 400, 500. One of our customers, Moss Adams, for entry-level accounting type roles will get, I think, like 4,000 resumes. University hiring is a big, high volume professional one as well. So high applicant volume is what I'm talking about when it's too many to really have humans engage with all of the candidates that come in.
Yeah, we've had to do a little bit at Full Scale. It's not, we don't really run into like thousands, like, but we'll get 1,000 applicants in a month in yeah. some months, which, you know, for us is still pretty high volume. And in order to do that, we've had to create, you know, we're hyper specific to software developers and software like leaders and testers, which, you know, makes it, it does make it easy to disqualify some people. Now, keep in mind, folks, when you're listening, when all of a sudden you put up a job post and you even get like 100 applicants for it, if it's just one position, you're like, whoa.
Yep.
Yeah. Go through a lot. You got to really kind of thin it down. And I was, amidst some recent travels, I find time to go through the Wall Street Journal app and I read articles that I probably wouldn't normally read because I'm stuck on a plane, right? But there was just an article recently about Indeed, who is known for hiring, but they have alienated all of their customers because they changed their billing model. Yep. So, and it was already kind of expensive to use a lot of this stuff. But keep in mind, like some of these platforms, you know, they bill you based on the number of applicants that come in. They give you a very short amount of time to say like, this is not a qualified applicant. And if you don't do that, you can end up spending a lot of money. So anything that can, you know, get the right people in front of you. Now, as a business owner, you got to pay people to do that. You have to pay people to read the resumes. And then one of the things in there is we're all kind of subjected to human bias. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, because that's the thing is like, it's you're the person that's looking at the interview, that's looking at the resumes. What are they biased about? When I say bias, I don't even just mean like that. You know, I think when some people think bias, they think along the DEIB, like the diversity, equity, inclusion and belonging. But some of this is just like being able to understand for us, it's like technical things like this type of developer is also most likely this type of developer. And yep. then that's the thing we have a hard time is getting, you know, our assessments take about an hour a piece and we have up to 50 of them, you yep. know, yep. so you get, sometimes you, it's hard for us to, we'll get someone that'll take one assessment and then really there's like a couple others we'd like to see them take. So we've had to spend a lot of time kind of like building our platform to route people in certain directions and stuff like that, which is to overcome kind of the lack of human understanding. So with that, I see you guys are working on some automation and AI type solutions to help do that. And I know that this is a big thing. And while it's obviously gaining adoption, you've raised over $5 million and are off and running with that. But with that, was that the need to kind of cut through the human blindness when it comes to certain things? Or
yeah, I mean a couple of things. So yeah, we'll use AI to get the right candidates to humans fast, to the right human faster, but in doing so you're cutting through a lot of potential bias for sure. So you can kind of think of it where if you have thousands of candidates that applied. A lot of times too, in these high volume scenarios, you just have, our companies would only have the human time to get out to like 20% of the thousand that apply. And then that 20% will have a somewhat biased process like you're describing. Yeah. And that 20% will have to wait a week to even talk to a human. And like you mentioned, humans might use shortcuts in their minds to kind of match and things like that. So what you're doing is now you have 100% instead of 20% getting a touch. So it is a piece of technology, but they're getting a talking to a two-way chat where they can get their questions answered. So part of it too is not just screening the candidates out or in, but the candidates screening the companies out or in, because then you know by the time they actually get to a human, they already got their question about remote work answered. They already have their pay questions answered, so they know they want to be there. They're less likely to drop off later. On the bias side, it's very easy, especially when you're dealing with, we'll even look at certain pieces of data. The time of day you're looking at a candidate's resume might cause you to be more likely to take a shortcut or create bias. So we're guaranteeing like a standardized two-way conversation for all candidates. And another piece too that has been interesting for us is we're talking a little bit about, just the volume, but sometimes with like B2C companies, these candidates are their best customers too. So at Disney parks, for example, the average person that applies for a job there also happens to spend 8 times more money at Disney parks. So by ignoring them, you're also ignoring your best customers if you're a B2C company. So I think you're paying in time and money to attract these eyeballs and applicants. So answering their questions and screening them in a non-biased way is important. But you're right, there's a lot of bias. We can measure in our chats, how empathetic are they being? Are they using biased language? Are they matching based on things that are actually correlated to outcome versus things that aren't? So yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you mentioned, you got a great point, is keeping people engaged. And I think as our company grew, one of the things that we had to really step up the volume. So we went through, we're 5 years old, essentially, this company. And in the first couple years, it would take us about 3 weeks to get through our entire hiring process. And we would people would just kind of drop off.
Yep.
Because of that. And their level of excitement for career change or your company, or maybe they got a job somewhere else. And, so the things that we've really had to do to keep that going, well, first off, shorten that process. But one of the things you mentioned was how quickly did they get to speak to a person?
Yeah.
And we put a big emphasis on that. Even if it was just in the beginning, like there are certain people that will, we do have to have a human assessment and interview component, but we made that last. And some of the things as we evolved with and began to hire at scale a little better, we're chopping some parts of the process out. Like we used to actually have a middle interview that we would have a software developer do with a specific subject matter expert, like another developer that was an expert at that subject. But we realized that if they got a certain score on their assessment, almost 100% of the time that subject matter expert would recommend them for the final interview. So, but those little correlations, that's what sped the process up a little bit. And also things like I'm the founder of gigabook.com, and we integrated that in the platform. So giving people rather than having someone wait for a callback and scheduling an appointment, giving someone an option to schedule that. Cause when they see it down the road, whenever that is, sometimes that's also that mental satisfaction that they have an upcoming event and they're not just stuck on that. But then I think one of the hardest parts was what is often referred to the sad path, which is the sorry you're not getting the job.
Yep.
How do you guys handle that part?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the probably the most underutilized pieces of like real estate on the internet is the sad path email. So when you're saying the open rates on those emails are a marketer's dream because everyone wants to know if they got the job. So they'll open the email, but then it's just a few sentences, right? So I think to your point, and you mentioned it with matching before, where We believe in an outcome for every candidate, and the outcome is certainly not going to be that you get the job for every candidate, but there could be another job. There could be some training you can put into the follow-up email. One of the things we do, so after you go through our automated chats, you're then getting into a human interview. And just like you, I also believe that there is, this is a human process, and we need a human at the end. So our tool will then sit in on your, whether it's a Zoom interview or Teams interview, it will write follow-up emails for you. So when you're done with the interview, you can go into your email box and have everyone you met with there. There'll be emails written for you. And that helps us have a good touch with the candidate where it's based on the conversation you had. And we also have intelligence knowing that, hey, in that follow-up email, we should mention remote work because we know that's highly correlated to converting candidates at our company. So I think automating kind of the notes, the follow-up emails, that stuff's becoming more possible than it once was. And that allows you to have like a follow-up with the candidates that are in the sad path, as you call it, and basically not necessarily a fit. And the other thing too is we know why you might have not been a fit. So if our chat talks to you and says, hey, you don't have your CPA yet, so that's not a fit for this accounting job. When do you get it? And they say it's in December, then the tool can send an automated email in December and say, do you now have your CPA? So I think it's that keeping the conversation going through automation. That's another thing that honestly, as a human, I just don't have time to keep track of every candidate I ever talk to. And then the last piece.
That would be impossible. That's impossible. I've yet to meet a human that can do that. There are people that seem like they might be able to, but it's just too many pieces. Too many pieces and too many parts. And if you have a company or an operation that is continuing hiring, because like I think in some cases some people organizations have an opening, they get flooded with applicants, they fill the job, and then that's not the case. But like we're talking about at scale here. So, the company, like you mentioned, working for Microsoft or like big companies or anybody that's growing, maybe even humanly, you're kind of always hiring, you know? And so that means it's kind of like people at the post office kind of go nuts sometimes because the mail never stops coming. It's never done. It just continually comes and comes and comes. And like, but that can feel the same way at an HR and a hiring office. I mean, it's the way at our company. I mean, a slow month is 600 applicants, and that's a lot to keep up. And so you have 600 plus the month before that. And then I think one thing that you just mentioned, if you want to hire at scale, remember the person you didn't hire today might be your candidate in a year or 2 years or whatever. So you got to find a way to not destroy your brand's impression. And that's where that sad path stuff kind of, no one likes to hear they didn't get the job, but if it's presented in a way that's respectful and respectful of people's time, you know, and let them know this is why. And I think if you're telling people like, hey, this is how you can get better. If you're, some people are just going to probably say F that and be mad because they didn't get what they wanted. But I think a lot of people are also like, okay, I get that. I understand. And we do have some people that come back and apply. So where do you find if you talk about the whole timeline of hiring, what's the most crucial part of it to keep the best people on board?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at it similarly to when I started at Microsoft. I was in support, and we measure a lot of things that are somewhat similar to recruiting. Time to resolution is similar to time to hire, but time to first touch was a big one in support. So how do you, and like you mentioned, the time to the first human touch. So oftentimes in high volume, just getting them in a situation as soon as possible where you have a valuable first touch. And what I mean by valuable first touch is not just an automated message from an applicant tracking system, but getting them to a point where they can actually get their questions answered. So the quicker you can get value back to them and that time to first quality touch. So after I apply, can I start a conversation within 24 hours where I'm getting my questions answered? And sometimes it's within you know, an hour or 30 minutes, but can you make it at max 24 hours where you're getting into a situation where you're able to get your questions answered about the job and also getting screened and knowing kind of if you're going to be a fit or if you move to the next human step. So that's generally what we aim for. And that's been a big one for our customers. Yeah, certainly measuring overall things like the full time to hire is a big metric. Candidate experience is another metric. And one quick thing I'll mention is to the sad path piece, we actually will notice that candidates will rate their experience with our chats. It's about a 4.8 out of 5, but if they don't get the job, it actually only drops to 4.7 out of 5 because they get a quick no usually. So I think even reducing the time to a no can help you from an experience, as long as it's done respectfully. It's not like automatic no, but there's some reasoning behind it.
Yeah. So for us, our first touch is maybe not a person. Our last touch is a human. But for technical positions, and I think they're a little different than some of the stuff because, you know, I'm a self-admitted salesperson, Prem. I'm willing to admit it that I am a salesperson. But salespeople are really tough to hire. Like, cause there's, it's challenging. So there's not like it almost makes it feel like it makes hiring developers feel a lot easier. Cause there's like a tangible thing. Like you mentioned a CPA earlier, like here's the thing, if you're applying for an accounting job and that's a key ingredient of, if you don't have it, that makes it pretty easy to be like, okay, this is not where you need to be. Salespeople's kind of tough because so you can ask 90% of salespeople will tell you that they're amazing. About 2% actually are, maybe 5% at best. I mean, like amazing. Like, and then, you know, then there's a pretty big padding there between serviceable and terrible, because most salespeople are serviceable. But it's really tough to kind of gauge that. And then selling different things calls for different types of personalities or different types of salespeople. There's really a lot that goes into it. So I feel for you on that one. You know, we're halfway through the show, so I want to remind everyone that finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. I should point out, humanly.io, they've got a lot of great people and a lot of great product coming out of there too. So check out what they do. Now, after you do that, you can also remember the Full Scale platform is going to help you define technical needs, see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. Now, our platform matches, it's more like we've already hired the people and our prospects come and they answer a few questions and it matches people up with, you know, different skills, tags, experiences. It's got a search engine of sorts, helps schedule an interview and kind of just streamline that process. It sounds to me like Humanly is more the other way around, where it's the tool that the hiring company will use to help interface with the applicants. Am I describing that properly?
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Interface with applicants and then join the remote interviews that humans are doing as a next step.
Yeah, the Full Scale team, they're already our employees. We've already hired them. I might have to start using Humanly to help us do that faster. But that's one of the things, you know, we're using that keyword that startups, VCs, private equity, entrepreneurs love, this word scale. I think the word scale and scalability are very misunderstood, because there are things that are not as quote scalable as others. And humans are one of them. The nature of the term scalability, it's not. And the reason that you, over this last 10 to 20 years, you saw this love for enterprise software was the quote scalability of it, meaning you could turn up non-human factors in some regards and see a big blitz in growth when it came to things. Hiring people can be a lot slower and a lot more difficult. Now, it seems like you guys went through a very interesting couple of years in your timeline, because you have a pandemic and then we had the Great Resignation. So we boasted a 93% employee retention rate in 2022, which was the year that everybody was quitting their jobs. Is that kind of movement in the marketplace good for your business? I would think it would be.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting time. So yeah, we had we raised our kind of first round of pre-seed money right as COVID hit. There was a lot of uncertainty, and then the economic downturn, and then we were also Silicon Valley Bank customers, so we went through that battle as well. So a lot of stuff going on at once. So it kind of depends. So we're generally selling, and most of our customers are not tech companies per se. There's a lot of different industries, so we're not impacted in the same ways as some of the what we're seeing with layoffs in big tech. Obviously, there's a lot of companies struggling. I mean, usually it hurts us first, and then we find out how to make it an advantage. So at the beginning, during times of uncertainty, when people are downsizing, there's general apprehension. So our pipeline was hit a little bit, but we had a really strong growth year in 2022. And part of that is as people kind of got their bearings back, they wanted to do more with less, and they didn't have the budgets to hire, you know, giant tech and people teams. So we're definitely a product that helps you do more with less. It helps you take kind of one recruiting coordinator and give them the power of 5, 10, 15. So that's generally what we're going after. And to the scale thing, you are right. Humans in many ways don't scale. Technology can help you scale things, but it also can, you know, I look at technology as making things happen quicker, faster, more efficiently, but it can also make bad things happen quicker, more efficiently and faster. So if you don't have a solid foundation, then you're catalyzing something that is already bad and making bad happen faster. So I do think it's really important to first think about the foundation and then use things to make those processes scale.
Yeah, I've read quite a few articles over the last few years talking about, you know, you get big companies, just big corporations that have hundreds of thousands of people, and talking about how they had their own like internal tech or processes or something that was just skipping over like thousands and thousands of qualified candidates, you know, like basically not doing what you guys are doing and finding ways to take a look at stuff. And a lot of that was built in a pretty simplistic way that, you know, where one answer that maybe shouldn't have been a disqualifier was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, so and you get these companies that they're, you know, they're at their, you know, making their quarterly reports and stuff like that. And we're not able to hire people fast enough. And someone else is looking at it like, you had 100,000 applicants. How are you not finding people? Is that a problem? Is it? And then, you know, some of that is that a problem with your hiring, or is it a problem that you don't have the ability to train them, or like, I don't know, there's a lot of components in there. So I think you guys are really solving a problem. Now, but one of the things, and let me ask you this, is, you know, and this, you know, how, what are you guys doing to help the world of hiring HR, and big companies even understand and know that you have something to help them?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Hopping on Startup Hustle podcast is one of the things we're doing to get out there.
good answer. I like it.
definitely. And now that things are beginning to be back in person a little more, we're definitely trying to show up at the conferences, get our marketing going, where we just partnered with SHRM. So we went to SHRM Talent a couple weeks ago. Word of mouth's another. We have a lot of happy customers, so word of mouth's another big piece in addition to sales and marketing.
What kind of training or exposure or experience practice? Like, what does it take? Like, if I want to sign up with humanly.io at my company, I'm the owner of the company, so I'm not going to necessarily be the one that's going to do all of it, because I've got this mid-sized company, right? And I mean, what am I going to have to go through to hook this up, to integrate it, to put it in? Like, what does that whole process look like?
Yeah, integrations are really important to me. So one of the things when I was at Microsoft, one of my roles was helping startups integrate into Office and into the Microsoft ecosystem. And I know it can be, if integrations are not seamless and easy, it could be the biggest nightmare. I had someone, a prospect tell me a couple weeks ago that they would rather get a divorce then change their applicant tracking system because it was such a pain to go through the reintegration. Obviously an extreme example, but yeah, we make it pretty easy. So we already have pre-built integrations with most of the applicant tracking systems out there. Generally we onboard folks in weeks to a month. So we're not talking multi-months here. Take you through a questionnaire, a little branding exercise, then we will introduce you to the different chatbots we have for you that you can put on your website. All our chats have a unique link, so it doesn't have to be like a widget on a website. When you think of a chatbot, it's like on the bottom right corner of a website, but there's a URL for every job that goes to a chat page. So you can put it in SMS, you can put it in social. Generally we're trying to make that pretty streamlined, and customer success and having a team of account managers is very important to us. So every customer will have a designated account manager and they have their phone number and their email. It's not like a general support email they have to message. So that's another piece of making onboarding pretty streamlined. So yeah, you book a demo with us and we then can get you set up in less than a month usually.
Do you have to go through a customization process with the chatbots that configures or gets them saying what the client or user wants to say, like particular answers or stuff like that?
Yeah, good question. So we've kind of made this we've broken it down so it's fairly straightforward, where you'll have about 80-90% of it will be ours. So if for instance, let's just say it's that accountant role, we have our accountant chatbots that's talked to, you know, hundreds of thousands of them. So you take that as a baseline. We have a library of questions. But then in onboarding, when I mentioned that questionnaire, we want this to feel like your brand. So the candidates don't know they're talking to humanly. So we'll take your brand assets. And then, yes, we want to honor your hiring philosophies. So if you have, we have a library of questions, but if you say for sales roles, coachability is important, we have our own questions we want to ask. They have the ability to do that, but you're not kind of going into a UI and typing out every question from scratch. You're more picking the general topics, and then the wording and things like that. Yeah, we definitely have branding teams, especially bigger companies that want to make sure their employer brand comes through, which is important for us too. So
all 300 of my employees are in the Philippines. Are you guys focused on North American, like United States hiring, or do you do anything international?
Yeah, good question. We are moving a little bit more internationally, and we actually have a team in Vietnam. So we're in Asia a little bit just from a development standpoint, and in addition to the US. But yeah, most of our customers are right now in the US or Canada. We are now beginning to get some in the UK, and yeah, Asia is definitely an interesting one, particularly as we integrate with WhatsApp and maybe eventually some of the other ones like WeChat.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, you know, anytime that we get used to what we do, and if you get experience as a CEO or a founder, that is applicable to where you are. And then you get into international things where often things are 90% the same. And then there's like 10% different. And that 10% different, meaning just like different rules or laws or approaches. And like when you ask, you talk about it, like, you know, like, okay, I think the common questions that we get, so we are all remote. So since the pandemic, is this work from home? And then here's the thing, and this is where these things get tripped up. So candidates sometimes will look at something, they'll be like, this company has 15 PTO days and this one has 10 PTO days, but the company with 10 PTO days pays 20% more. That grossly outweighs, from a personal income standpoint, the other company with 15 PTO days. So sometimes with that, so what one of the things with us is, you know, we try to bridge the gap, because some foreign countries have have some very, very, like compared to what we're used to in the US, have some very interesting PTO practices, meaning like some of these companies, I mean, some of these countries, they'll have like 50 days. You're like, when do you get anything done? Right. But these little nuances that go from country to country can have everything to do with whether or not you get you hire people. And I mentioned that situation where the other company has a few more PTO days, but the other company's paying a lot more. It's amazing to me that sometimes people, especially people that are applying for what we'll call smart positions, don't always figure that out. You know, they look at that. So sometimes we've had to kind of lay that out. Now, I'm going to take a look at Humanly, because we spend a lot of time trying to get people to really understand that dialogue. And here's the thing is we talked about salespeople earlier, but your recruitment people are salespeople too. Yep. You know, they need to be good salespeople, because they're going to handle objections. There's a little bit of selling that's in there. It's like, and you have to have people. It's like you mentioned the folks that worked at Disneyland. I would absolutely want someone working at Disneyland that was passionate about being a user at Disneyland. You know, that's someone that's going to understand the landscape. They're also going to be like, hey, you know, like they're going to interface with people and have a different vibe about them. Yeah. And that matters, because you know, you don't want the person that's like, yeah, I don't know, it's Snow White's over there, you know. Yeah. And like, yeah. So you know, there's a lot of complimentary stuff that needs to be in there. So okay, so we're nearing the end of our time here at Startup Hustle, and you know, I'm just curious, as you know, we got a very interesting conversation here. Clearly have two founders that have a lot of expertise in hiring for much, much different things. Now, when you look at hiring, what are some things that are universal? Like whether you're trying to hire an army of cashiers or an army of developers, what do you think some of the things are that are universal when it comes to hiring just good people in general? Like the traits that you can't say, like without these things, you probably have a weak candidate. And I'm going to lead. I'll lead. So I'll go first. And I will say the one number one thing that we look for is passion. Are you passionate about doing the job that you're applying for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would steal your passion word there, because that's a big one. I think coachability is important. Mm-hmm. So humility and coachability. So whether it's a job that takes a lot of training or not, you want people that are learners that are going to evolve in your organization. Passion for sure. I remember when I applied at Microsoft to start my career, that was a big thing I tried to show in my interview, and it landed well. Those are a couple I would say. I'd add coachability to that.
So that would fall under the attitude category. Yeah. Like just meaning like general. And for us, we have another one in there that, so when we get past our technical assessments and we're into the personal interview side, attitude and likability, which are kind of what you mentioned, which is coachability. Then we have another one we call critical thinking, mm-hmm. Which is the ability to spot a problem and criticize the approach in a productive way. You know, meaning like, I think one of the things that that offshore developers have it worldwide, the biggest complaint is that they aren't, is a lack of critical thinking, meaning like they get a plan, they look at it, and there might be problems with this, but then they build it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, that ability to speak up and say, hey, there's a problem here. You know, that's a big thing for us. Like, what about dependability? Very difficult to measure in an interview.
Yeah, it's hard to measure in an interview. You know, you can start to see some early signals, like we can measure like no-show rates and stuff if you're already not showing up. But yeah, that's a big one for sure. Adaptability, particularly in the startup world, is important for us. And then one thing we call like truth seeking, but like to me, this is really about having the customer's best interest in mind. So when you're solving a problem, it's not about whether the CEO's right or you're right or this person right. And at the end of the day, the truth is the customer's truth, not anyone, not any individual. So there are, you know, ways you can test for how much someone really cares about the end impact. And that's where that critical thinking comes in too. Are you really thinking about, is this actually going to, yes, you can literally do what's written on the piece of paper, but when an end user uses it, are they going to be delighted or not? And I think that customer mindedness is certainly a big one for any job, even if it's not directly customer facing.
Yeah. And I think one more that I'd be remiss if I didn't mention is just communication. You know, like in general, and man, communication can fall under like six different top level categories and be its own, you know?
And the trouble you were talking about, how it's challenging to hire for salespeople, and they'll say they're the top, really good communicators are also good at appearing very coachable, adaptable, and passionate and stuff. So I think being able to really assess good communication, but then also separate out some of those other things can be hard. Yeah.
People get it wrong with salespeople because, you know, I've always been chatty since I was a kid. And I've actually become less chatty as I've grown older. And I think I'm just kind of like pick and choose those things. But a lot of times people, that person's a great talker. They'd be a great salesperson. That is not what makes a great salesperson. A great salesperson is a good listener, a problem solver. They're empathetic on behalf of their client, customer, or prospect. Yep. And when you can find a way to solve, if you're looking for salespeople, you want to find someone that is a problem solver. Yep. And is able to look at the, like, what's the biggest problem that you're trying to solve at your business? And I ask that to people everywhere, Preem, like, I just like in general, and you know, what's the biggest problem you're trying to solve? And they're like, well, at work, no, in life, you know, like, and if you can find that for someone, and you know, I find that the hardest problem to solve and the most valuable one is anything you can do that generates peace of mind. And that's where I'll kind of like segue to this like end, because that's what your platform does for these high volume stuff, because there's that peace of mind. There's like this chaos of like a zillion applications coming in. And then you have the anxiety as the founder or the owner, like, are we even handling these properly? How are we doing this? And then let's look at the human component of your hiring and recruitment department, because look, man, that's just like a lot. And they just keep coming and they keep coming. And then, like, you know, you got to deal with that. So if you can generate peace of mind in that process, now at Full Scale, and once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by fullscale.io. Go to the platform. It takes 2 minutes to fill out the form and we'll match you up with vetted software people. But that's the peace of mind we generate, as people are anxious about hiring an offshore team. So we only hire about 1 in 35 candidates. You're paying us for to get the 34 out of the way to give you the one that has the peace of mind. You're like, okay, this is someone good. Because really, regardless of all of it, I'll be the first person to tell you that until someone shows up and does the job, you don't fully know if they're any good.
Yep.
It's just the way it goes. I've had the greatest, what appeared to be like all-star Hall of Fame type candidates show up for an interview somewhere. And I'm like, wow, this person's amazing. And they show up and it's not that they can't do the job. It's that they have something else calling them. Something else is going on in their life or in their reality. And they find a way to mess it all up because of that. And it's weird too, because in this, like, that's evolved for me over time. Like, I've actually had to fire a couple people at a prior company because they couldn't stop text messaging. Like, I'm like, how you're sending, like, there's no way you're not sending like 100 text messages a day at work. Every time I look at you, you're texting, and that's definitely not part of your job.
Yeah.
You know, so some of that, like, you know, it's like you never know. All right. Anyway, once again, with me today, Preem Kumar, and he is the CEO of Humanly, humanly.io. Preem, I like to end my episodes of Startup Hustle with what I call the founder's freestyle. I like to give the mic to my guests and let them make any closing remarks or statements, and then I'll have a few of my own. So is there anything you'd like to say to the hustlers out there?
Well, thanks for having me. If you're at where I was in the journey about 4 years ago, and I would encourage you, so this is before I started, I would encourage you to just get started. That was the hardest part for me, kind of taking that first step and jumping out. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions about what we do, want to check out our product, or just need advice on the startup journey. My email is prem@humanly.io. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. Congrats again on making it onto our top startups in Seattle list. So by the way, that was like, so we do a new city every month and we realized we hadn't done Seattle. That was a beefy list of competitors you had there. As we try to narrow that down, we were having a hard time. We normally kind of get it down to about 20 before we get down to 10 or 12. And there was a lot to choose from, a very robust market. My statements on the way out are, look, great companies, you want to have an all-star company, you need to have an all-star roster. If you want to have an all-star roster, you got to get good at recruiting people, which means you need to have the best offer, okay? There's no secret sauce. There's no AI platform or staff augmentation platform or anything that's going to get past the fact that you have a shitty offer at your company, meaning like it's not a great place to work. It doesn't pay that well. Part of the reason that we have a 93% retention rate at Fullscale, I pay better than everyone else. I removed some of these things. So if you're trying to find platforms like Preem's or like Fullscale that are going to deliver dump trucks of the highest talent willing to work for the lowest rates, that's not how it works. It's really not. So it starts with the offer. It starts with your company culture. It starts with the way that you are building your company. And with that, get into good hiring practices. I'm all for automation and efficiency and organization the way that Humanly's doing it. It's a lot to keep up with. And the thing is if you don't get this stuff right early and start trying to figure it out early, you're going to get to the point that you dreamed of where it's time to go, go, go. And you're going to realize that your rocket's on the launch pad without any fuel on it. So you got to figure these things out before you truly need it. You know, the great companies don't figure it out at the moment they realize that, oh, we really need to scale up. You got to keep an eye on this along the way. The reality is that people come and go. It's the nature. People that you hire that don't own equity in your company are probably going to end up working somewhere else someday because that's just kind of the way it goes. If you keep people around for 15, 20 years, congratulations. It's still hard to do. Just be prepared for that kind of change and just know that it's be professional about it. Preem, thanks for joining me, man. I love what you're doing up there.
Thank you so much for having me.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.